Good morning. We're going to take a look at some of the reasons that we have to be joyful. At this time in the holiday season, so many people get caught up in all the hoopla and commercialism. We talked about that this morning in Dave's class. It's kind of really skewed Christmas for a lot of us as Christians. People are out there trying to buy happiness, trying to buy joy. I'm sure that all of you in here know that Christmas and joy has nothing to do with a new car or a computer game or all the stuff that the commercials tell us bring us joy and satisfaction. In fact, anybody that has small children know that you buy them a present and everybody's happy and there's big smiles, and after a little while the present's over in the corner and they're playing with the box. So, I mean, it's very short-lived. And even, you know, I know that if you walk out and you see a nice new car sitting in your driveway, you know, it really can bring a smile to your face. And for a while, it brings joy. But then, you know, the steering goes out, and then, you know, the exhaust system goes, and whatever. And after a while, that joy becomes a lot of frustration and aggravation. And you know, computer games and computers. Now, I know we have some computer tech people in here, and they love computers. But for most of us, computers are a pain. I mean, I always thought about, you know, things that can aggravate you. We were aggravated with other things before computers came, but they can do it a lot faster. You know what I mean? Now you can get aggravated almost immediately before it took a while. So, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine living without them, you know, but it's sometimes I could do without them, you know. So, okay. Anyway, can I have the second one? This was our scripture this morning, and it comes from Psalms, and it talks about being filled with joy. And we talk about the joy of the season, the Christmas season, but the truth is, God gave us so many things to be joyful about. And we're going to look at some verses this morning that's going to help us to see different reasons why our joy should be perpetual. Our joy isn't something that's fleeting, that we only have from time to time. We have reason to have joy all the time in our lives. So we're going to take a look here, and we saw in Dave's class, we talked about it, and then Roger's film this morning a little bit about the first people that found out about Christ, and that was the shepherds. When I first looked at that this morning, Raj, you know, it showed you how I probably would have been when, you know, an angel comes. I mean, they were scared to death, you know what I mean? And they're in shock. And it didn't look like much joy, but as they travel, as the story goes, or what was Paul Harvey always said, and now for the rest of the story, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on earth whom his favor rests." Now we see right in here, it was good news of great joy. Well, that great joy, that good news wasn't just for them. That's for all of us in the world today. We know that our Savior is born. But here we see, like Roger said and like Dave said, the lowliest people on earth were the first ones to be invited to that birth. That should make us feel wonderful, because no matter where our status is as the world sees us. We know that God loved even the lowest of the low enough that they were the first ones that he gave that joy to. The first ones he told about, your Savior's born. So we're going to go and look. Now we're at the other end of the spectrum. See, we've gone to the lowest of the low, and now we're going to look at the wise men, which basically, if we think about it, the wise men were kings in their countries. And yet, they also were looking for joy. Have you ever noticed in today's world, it's always what we see in the news, and the people who make the news are what? The ones who have all the money and are out carousing and doing all kinds of strange things. And what you find out after you watch these people, I mean, they're married four or five times. They're in and out of rehab. They're in and there are so many issues that they have in their life. That money didn't do anything for them. You know what I mean? They got all the money. You see kings and leaders, and they're constantly looking for something. We already have it, you know, and they can't find it. And they're never going to find it in their money. They're never going to find it in their position. I read an article some time ago, and we all know Bill Gates has, you know, he has so much money, I don't think the guy knows how to keep track of it anymore. But he got a letter from another rich individual, and in that letter it told him that he's never going to find happiness and joy until he starts giving that money away, until he starts doing things for other people. And that amazed me. I thought, here's a rich man that actually figured it out, that God blessed him with something so that he could bless others. So anyway, we're going to look at these wise men. And this is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So here we see kings who were searching, and when they found Christ, they were overjoyed. That's what did it for them. They got it. These kings got it. It amazed me that, you know, we see the pictures, and I often wonder about this. We see the pictures that are depicting the three wise men, and you see these three guys basically alone on camels, right? I don't know. From everything I've read, kings never traveled by themselves. They had more people to take care of them than, you know. I always pictured a caravan showing up. And everybody else probably had to stay off to the side, and the kings came forward and saw Christ. And that doesn't diminish the fact that they were searching. I mean, they traveled a long way to see the Christ child. And I think that what amazes me about this, look at the difference, the contrast. They were kings, right? They go to Herod. He's a king. But do you see the difference? They are searching for Christ. They're searching for God's Son, for the joy. And what does Herod do? Is he finds out about it. He wants to kill him, right? He said, because this guy's going to be more important than me. You see the difference? Those people will never find joy. At least not the joy that we have. The next slide is going to talk about a different kind of joy, a different reason for joy. Joy of believing. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, hope, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. God fills us with hope if we believe. When we believe in His Word and everything He taught us, we can have joy every day. It's there for us. We have His Word. He gave us that. We can believe in what we've been taught because we know we have a faithful God. Even the example that we just gave of Christ being born, it was all fulfilling what God had told us He was going to do, proving to us that what God tells us, we can believe. Because He's shown it. He's not just told us, He's shown us that His Word is true. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So we think of that. Yeah, the shepherds actually got to see Him. The magi, or the kings there, they actually got to see Him. The prophets, some of the apostles and some of the early church, they got to see Him. We didn't. But because we believe, it says we can have inexpressible and glorious joy. That's not a joy you're going to... I mean, I've seen people happy that they got a car, but I wouldn't ever say anybody had an inexpressible and glorious joy that I've seen from receiving a gift. You know, I've seen people who received very little and were so joyful for it because they had so little. But we all have something amazing in our God. The next slide we're going to look at talks about because of the gospel. And like I said, we have God's Word in written form that we can go to any time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6 says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that we have chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Joy given by the Holy Spirit. We receive that Holy Spirit when we become a Christian. We receive that joy. Nobody can take that away from us. We can give it up. We can choose on our own to turn away because God has given us that choice. But nobody can take it from us. It's been given to us as a gift through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 says, those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. When the scripture is taught and people actually learn what is going on, what God had His plan from the very beginning, the love that He had from the very creation, and it's there in His gospel for us, that's where the great joy comes from. And when they heard God's word, they were filled with great joy. The next one's a little more difficult. John spoke about that this morning when he was up here. It's hard sometimes to be joyful when you're going through times of trouble. And everybody, I can look around this auditorium and see one person that didn't have some trouble in their life. You think about that. Everybody sometime goes through trouble. Even these people, you know, you say, I'll talk about the people, I think when I was a kid, my dad used to talk about the ones that were born with a golden spoon in their mouth. I'm not sure how that's, you know, figured in. I never quite understood that. I would have thought that hurt, you know. But okay, they were born with a golden spoon in their mouth. It was to indicate people that have were blessed from birth, right? But you think about it. I don't care who you are. If you had everything throughout your life, you're going to lose your parents. You're going to, you know, lose a loved one. Somewhere in your life, even though you have all those blessings, you're going to run into some tribulation somewhere. And because of what God's done for us, we can find joys in those times of trouble. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." We go through some of these temptations, and we go through these things to help us to grow in our faith. And as we grow in our faith, we become more joyful. There's more joy, more blessings for us. And that's the thing that we have to get out of that, that no matter what happens to us, we already know the end. I hated those people that always, you ever know those people that when they sit down and they read the back of the book first, they read the last couple pages of the book, they already know what happened before they even read the book because they can't wait. Well, we already have that. We know what the end is, but we don't know the story in between. No, we don't know what's going to happen to us and what our life is going to be. But I think God gave us the ending so that we can deal with anything that happens in between. And so we have that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 say, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you." So when we, and especially now in these times, I mean, Christians are being persecuted in our own country. And these scriptures are more true now for us in our country than they've ever been. We're going to have times when people are going to be calling us all kinds of names and trying to hurt us because of our Christian faith. But here it says we should be rejoicing that we are being recognized as children of God and we're being punished for it. So if you look at it from that standpoint, we can be joyful even during those troubling times. The next one is the joy of fellowship. We look at what God's done. We know he created the church for many reasons. But one of those reasons is so that his brothers and sisters have fellowship with each other and can be joyful in being around each other. 2 John verse 12 says, "I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that your joy may be complete." I don't know how all of you feel, but when I get in here on a Sunday morning and I see my brothers and sisters coming in, I have great joy. I'm so happy to see everybody in, and we all love each other, and we know that. And it's a great time for me, and I think God designed it that way. It's, you know, I sit back and you read the scriptures and sometimes it's difficult to understand, why did God do this way and why did God do that way? Well, because he's God and we haven't got a clue. You know what I mean? He made us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And he knew all this ahead of time and he laid it all out. And you sit down and you think about it. This was years and hundreds of years ago, and yet how applicable is it today? It's the same. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Fellowship, they were together all the time. They loved being with each other. Now they had, understandably, that most other people around them didn't like them much, much like it's starting to be today. And they grew strength from each other. But it was the fellowship that gave them the joy. The next slide we're going to look at talks about the joy of saving souls and what the scriptures say about that. Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I often think about that. I think, that was happening when I got baptized. When I became a Christian, the angels in heaven were rejoicing. All my brothers and sisters were rejoicing. We should be like God in loving others to the point that all those that are lost, when one of them is found, when one of them finds Christ, it should bring great joy to our hearts. Because we know that now we have another brother or sister who's going to be spending eternity with us. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 24 says, now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them the good news about Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now, this was a Jew who became a Christian, and now when he found out about others becoming Christians, he went there, and it says when he saw them, he was glad or joyful. He was so happy because others were being saved. We can also look at our next slide is about the joy because Christ lives. There's no other religious group in the world that can say their God is alive. But ours is. And we know He is. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 8 says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go and quickly tell the disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. There's the first two witnesses that know that Christ rose. He wasn't in the grave. We don't have a God or a deity that we worship that was buried and you can find his grave, because he isn't. He rose. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 20 says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. There wasn't just one or two people that saw Christ after he was risen. There were over 100, and maybe even more that we don't know of, that saw our Lord that was raised from the dead and who lives now. And that's what we're going to look at as another joy, is the joy that Christ is in heaven. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53, it says, "He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, 'This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.' When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." We know that he's in heaven. It was witnessed that he's alive, and it was witnessed when he was taken up into heaven. And we know what he's doing there. We know that he's sitting there with God, and he's interceding on our behalf. And we know that we need that. But that's something nobody has but Christians. Those who have been saved, those who believe, those who read the gospel, those who understand, they have that. He's there for us. And our final slide talks about our final joy. And this is something that we carry with us every day. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he says, "Do you believe this?" So if we believe, when we die here, we don't die. We just transform. And we go and we'll be like the angels. And we'll be in heaven with God. We'll have a different body. But we'll have a perfect body. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more suffering. We'll still be able to recognize each other. And we'll be there with our God. And you talk about a joy of being there. I said, I often try to think about questions I thought I might have when I get there. But then I think, you know, you're going to get there, and it's going to be so unbelievable that I'm sure all those questions will be gone. I mean, with the memory I have, they're going 20 minutes later anyway. So that'll all change. And the last reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Boy, isn't that just, you talk about joy. The joy to know that Christ went to heaven and he's already prepared a place for us. And he's just there waiting for us to be there with him. That should give you such joy that nobody else can have. Nobody can take from you. And at this season, when we talk about, I was thankful that Rogers sang the song, "Joy to the World." This joy is for the whole world. Unfortunately, some of them don't want to accept it. Some of them just, for some reason or other, think they're going to find their joy here in whatever things. We know that that's not true. I think that it was mentioned this morning about the blessings that we have when we give to others, and how much we feel when we see someone else joyful. And so when you think about our joy, remember where the true blessings are. Remember that it's nothing you're going to find under your tree. We do find joy in our families being around us. That's the fellowship of our own children, our own relatives, but the joy here in the church. Those are joys that carry on forever, that we don't just look for one day out of the year or 2 days when you get your birthday presents. but they don't fade. The new car will fade, the computer will fade, the other gifts, they'll fade. You may find them in the closet someday and don't even remember you had them. The way some people drive, you may find the car in the closet. but the joy that we have, God's given us, nobody can take that from you, and you'll always have that. Remember that. At this time, we always offer the Lord's invitation. For those who, if there's someone here who has needs that they would like the church to pray for at this time, or if there's someone out here that's not a Christian, that hasn't put God on in their life yet, now would be the time as we stand and sing, you can come forward.